Right. Are you sitting comfortably? I ask the question purposefully, because sometimes when we approach the address, we may feel, well, I'm a little uncomfortable because I don't think that the Bible has got anything to say to me. But as we've been seeing in our morning series of addresses in recent weeks, the Bible has something to say to each and every person. As we've been looking at Luke, we've been focusing upon the universal gospel, God's good news for everyone, to every tribe and nation, to rich and poor, male and female, to those who might consider themselves right outside the sphere of God and his things. As we approach the study of Scripture, we can all sit comfortably because God has got something to say to us. None of us is left out. Except perhaps this morning, when we come to think of God's word for children, because there aren't too many here who would say, yes, I'm still a child. Though some may be struggling to get away from childhood, and some of us are worried about a relapse into childhood, we might say, well, I'm not a child, so all of a sudden you've made me feel uncomfortable because you're going to be talking about being children. I think that still, as we listen this morning, we'll see that God's word to children has something to say to us. Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, the first reading we had read this morning. Luke chapter 18 and verses 15 to 17, it's page 77 of the second section, the New Testament section. Luke 18, beginning at verse 15. Let me just read those three verses for us again. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. That's a familiar story. And very often, when this passage or similar passages in Matthew and Mark are preached, it's that verse 17 that the emphasis is put upon, because we're preaching by and large to adult audiences, where it says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And we're encouraged to have childlike attitudes and response to the preaching of the good news, encouraged to be trusting, accepting, and believing. And that's all very well, and that's all very true, and it's all very good. This morning I want to focus upon the first two verses, 15 and 16, and see what it is that Jesus would have to say to us about our attitude to children. Now please, don't say to me, well, you've got nothing to say to me. I'm not even married, let alone have children. Don't say you've got nothing to say to me because I'm an old age pensioner and children are out of my life. Because if we are members here at All Souls, or members of another church, then inevitably within that church, within that family, there are children. There are probably around 100 children spread out through this building, even as we are here upstairs. And we have a responsibility for them as a family. All of us should be concerned for our children. Not just those of us who are physically parents and who at 10 past 11 every Sunday morning loose our children into the bowels of All Souls. All of us are concerned. So let's have a look at these two verses. And the first thing to note in verse 15 is that there is an expectation. They were bringing even infants to Jesus that he might touch them. Even infants. And it's interesting that the word there is infants, whereas in the other two versions, it's children, infants, babies. In the New International Version, they were bringing tiny ones to Jesus that he might touch them. Not that he can feel how soft their skin is, but they had an expectation. There is anticipation and expectation written here. The parents, and indeed it's masculine, so it's probably the fathers, are bringing to Jesus their children with an expectation It was the pattern in Jewish circles to bring children to the elders or to the scribes on the Day of Atonement for the scribe or elder to touch. And these people are bringing their children to Jesus. And they had an expectation. They had an expectation that in bringing them to Jesus, something would happen. Now you may say, rubbish. They're like modern parents. We see the modern parents today dragging their children round in a semi-superstitious way to holy people in the chance that something would rub off. They're touting their children round for the best kind of heavenly insurance that they can get. And the parents today are just the same. We're looking for heavenly insurance for our children. I actually think that the expectation of these parents, and indeed the expectation of parents here in All Souls, is much higher than that. But if it wasn't, if these parents were simply looking for some kind of holy man, some semi-superstitious expectation, it's interesting to note that Jesus didn't turn them away. He didn't turn them away as having a wrong understanding. If you follow your eyes down to the next story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus with a wrong understanding, wrong motives, Jesus questions him and he goes away sad. See, Jesus wasn't in the habit of simply accepting people with wrong motives, wrong understandings coming to him. He wasn't in the habit of simply being polite. Oh yes, here's some nice parents, I'll be nice to them, don't want to upset them. That wasn't the way that Jesus did things. They came with expectation, and Jesus responds to that expectation. I wonder how high are our expectations for the children that are brought here Sunday by Sunday. First thing was expectation. And then secondly, there's an invitation. Verse 16. Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them." Despite the attitude of the disciples, there at the end of verse 15, when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Despite the attitude of the disciples, which could have been for a number of reasons, they didn't want the children to come. Could have been that they didn't think that children ought to be there. It's interesting that in verse 15 you have the word even infants. Perhaps they just wanted to protect Jesus from all the people and he was tired. But Jesus invited. He welcomed them. He wanted them to come close, to be brought to him. Again, some may say, well, he was just being nice. He didn't want to upset the set of parents. And he wasn't really interested in children. After all, as Lord Byron once said, they all smell of bread and butter. You see, Jesus wasn't in the habit of just pandering to people's emotions and sentiments. Jesus had compassion, but underlying his compassion was truth and reality. Again, as we think of that rich young ruler in verse 22, "One thing you still lack." He wasn't going to pander to that person. So why should we think he was simply pandering to a set of people who brought children? Jesus, when he invited the children and when he took the children, was not performing a meaningless act. His invitation was not just for those few children gathered in front of him there, but for all children. "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God, Jesus says, belongs to children. And not only to children, but to those who will receive it like children. But it belongs to children. It belongs to the children. The invitation that Jesus offers to these children is extended to all children through all time. And it has depth and it has meaning because he firmly believes that his kingdom, the kingdom that he came to inaugurate, belongs to them. That invitation still stands to all children. Those tiny ones that are in the creche in the forum, to the scramblers, the 3 to 5s meeting at the moment in the refectory, to the explorers in the Waldegrave Hall and upstairs in the Langham Room, to the pathfinders right upstairs in the top flat, all the children, the invitation there of Jesus is true. But one has to ask, who will bring them? Who will bring the children within the sound of the universal gospel? There is expectation. There's an invitation. And then thirdly, there is a response. Now, it's not recorded here in Luke's gospel, but Mark, which is accepted as the source of Luke's account here, records this. Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. And in a sense, we presume the same here in Luke, because we can't imagine that Jesus is making the point, the invitation verbally, and then refusing physically to back it up and not pick up the children and hold them. As one writer puts it, Jesus' final action was as significant as his words. His genuine love of the children and tenderness expressed in taking them in his arms and blessing them through prayer and the laying on of hands can only be properly appreciated within the context of the callous attitudes that prevailed within the Greek society of the first century. Jesus invited them. Jesus welcomed them. And in doing so, in picking up those children, taking them in his arms, laying his hands upon them and blessing them in prayer, Jesus instilled upon those children and upon all children an inherent value. And Luke has recorded that and other accounts of Jesus responding to children in order to make the point. The children came to Jesus. And if you've ever tried to detach a child from your trouser leg, you'll realize that that is a feat in itself. The children came to Jesus and he responded. He responded with genuine love. He responded with a spiritual response. He blessed them. Can I ask, what is our expectation for the children of our church family? Is it that they will receive from Jesus a spiritual response? Spiritual blessings? I think these two verses, very brief verses, raise a number of points and questions for us as a church family. And again, I want to talk about it corporately. Don't say to me, look, it's your fault that you've lumbered yourself with 2 children. That's your problem. Because it's all of our problems, unfortunately. My children are your children. We belong in a family. We share each other's burdens. And my burden is for our children. I find it interesting that today, both within the church and outside, people work very hard at raising the image of certain groups of women, of minority ethnic groups, people who feel that for some reason they are second-class citizens. And that is right. It's right that we spend time and raise the image. But when we come to think of children, my friends, children are not second-class citizens. They're considered as fourth-class citizens if they're citizens at all. And indeed, sometimes children perceive that they're not seen as human. John Inchley, in this very helpful book, Realities in Childhood, writes this. It seems that children in the UK at least, instead of being cherished and made the most of for their own sake, have often been grudgingly tolerated simply as a means to becoming eventual adults. I asked my daughter early in the week, and she's 3 years old. I said to her, do you enjoy life? And she said, children don't have lives, only mummies have lives. I think it is true that we can see children, not as children, but as eventual adults, and be concerned about them only what is going to happen when they become adults. I think this event has 3 things to say to us. First of all, Jesus sees children as important, and so should we. Now, I don't need to say that to those of us who humanly are our parents, because we know our children are important. But I think we need to see them as important because they're children, and as children, and not because of the adults that, God willing, they will eventually become. And as a church fellowship, I ask, do we count our children important? Important in our corporate life together? One writer commenting on this passage says this: notwithstanding the unambiguous manner in which Jesus commands the children be brought to him and that no obstacles be placed in their way, it still continues to be the great weakness of most Protestant churches that spiritual ministration to children is taken in hand far too superficially. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to me." But in the life of the church, too often, nearly 99% of its time, money and strength is devoted to the ministration of adults, whereas to the children is devoted only a fairly insignificant portion. In the mission of the church, there are many, many things that are important. And one of them is the mission to children. I just wonder if our children here in All Souls aren't getting a raw deal. I only wonder it. Jesus saw the children as important. But then secondly, Jesus saw the children have a spiritual aptitude. And he responded to the expectations of the parents who were bringing them. Already I've asked, what is our expectation for our children? See, too often Sunday schools are seen by us parents as a nice child-minding agency. It gets the children out of the way so that parents and the rest of the church can worship properly on a Sunday morning. And in a sense, that sums up our expectation. Not that they're going to meet with Jesus, but they're off our hands for a little while. Jesus didn't think that it was only as adults that we can relate to him. He pointed the adults to the children and encouraged the adults to relate to him as the children did. Do we expect the children in our care to know and love and grow in Jesus Christ? Charles Haddon Spurgeon is reported as saying this: "I have more confidence in the spiritual life of children I've taken into my church than I have in the spiritual life of the adults. I will go further and say, I've usually found a clearer knowledge of the gospel, a warmer love for Christ in the child convert than in the man convert." That's interesting. Then earlier in the week, I was talking with someone about children, and he told me that D.L. Moody, when asked after addressing a meeting whether there are any conversions, said this: "Yes, one and two halves." "Oh, an adult and two children," came the response. "No," said Moody, one child and two adults, because their life is already half over. Inherent within the pages of Scripture is an understanding that children can relate to the good news of Jesus Christ, can relate to Jesus himself. In Proverbs, we're told to train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then, that second lesson that we had from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul writing to Timothy says, "How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." From childhood, Timothy had been instructed by his mother and his grandmother in the Scriptures. Perhaps as parents and as a church, we need to raise our expectations of the spiritual aptitude of our children, of what they can gain from knowing and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And in raising our expectations, we might also raise the importance of the work that's been done for them in our Sunday school. And then thirdly and finally, I think this passage teaches us that prayer and work amongst children is vital. See, if Jesus holds out an invitation to the children, and if Jesus expects them to receive from him, then we too should have that expectation. We too should be seeing that that invitation is held out to our children. And it must follow that all of us ought to be involved in regular prayer for the work of children here in our church or in your church if you're visiting to us. We ought to be praying for the homes represented here in All Souls. We ought to be praying for our Sunday school as it meets Sunday by Sunday. We ought to be praying for the schools that our children attend, and especially our own All Souls school just round the corner. We ought to be praying. And perhaps some of us ought to be thinking, well, are there other ways in which I can be involved in teaching and helping in the schools, in the Sunday schools? All of us can pray. But pray for what? Pray for whom? Pray regularly for the work. I wonder how many people know the name of the leader of the Sunday school. I won't ask you to put your hands up. His name is Richard Lance. We ought to be praying for him. We ought to be praying for the numerous teachers and leaders under him, for all the ages. Let's not be ashamed. Let's not say, oh, I've never prayed for the Sunday school, aren't I awful? Let's say, from today, I will regularly pray for our children. I will regularly pray that the work in the Sunday school, the work in the schools, the care that they're given at home, will actually have the effect of bringing the children to Jesus. I think this passage challenges us to see the importance of children in our corporate life as a church. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for the children that you've given to us. We ask you that you give us grace and strength to bring them to Jesus Christ, to train them in your faith and fear and love. Give your wisdom and love to Richard Lance and to the team of leaders who are working with our children. And may we rejoice with your angels as we see little ones being brought closer to their Saviour and Lord. Keep us faithful, Father, as individuals and as a church in praying for your children who are our children. And we ask all these things through Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.